RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hour number two, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're getting you ready for tonight's basketball games. Virginia Tech takes on Richmond in the NIT, and then UVA tips off against Colorado State, NCAA play-in game. Other people start the madness late. We start the madness early around here. Of course, VCU Villanova tomorrow in the NIT. You'll hear that right here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. We're going to hear from Cleveland Farrell here in a minute, Benedictine grad, newest member of the Washington Commanders. Before I do, Hazel, we need to give our daily update. This is the only sports talk show in Richmond with the guts to ask the question, where is Kate Middleton?
Where is she?
Where is Kate Middleton? We demand answers. Now, TMZ put out a video of her yesterday, which
I saw.
Should solve the... Now, everybody... Like, it's a... You're a journalism student. I've taught journalism. I was a journalism student once, right? AWOD knows the drill. Like, they always say, don't believe TMZ. Like, everybody likes to dunk on TMZ. It's a new
right.
Wikipedia. When
yes.
I was in school, it was like, well, you can't trust Wikipedia. I think we've all come around. Like, yeah, you can trust Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Like, the things on Wikipedia are accurate. I think we're all that way with TMZ now, right? Like, if they say something, it's true.
Yeah.
You saw the video?
I did see the video.
What was your takeaway from the video?
Well, I'm not sure that's Kate Middleton.
That was my takeaway from the video.
No,
yeah,
looks a lot different.
I'm at the point where I'm officially concerned,
right?
Because one of two things is happening here. It's either a massive cover up at the highest levels of the British monarchy.
Yes,
and that's not great. And she like something actually bad may have happened to her,
mm-hmm.
and then it's not funny anymore. That's
and then
not
it would be sad.
But number two is the person in that video actually might be Kate Middleton, and now I'm going crazy. And what do I believe anymore? What's real? What's not real? What's AI? What's ChatGPT? I don't know anymore.
She's ChatGPT come to life.
She is OpenAI has become sentient, and she is the Duchess of York or whatever her title is. I don't know. I'm second guessing myself. Like TMZ says that's Kate Middleton.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I want to trust TMZ.
I definitely trust TMZ.
I want to believe. But they don't have me.
It just doesn't look like her.
It doesn't.
The whole thing's weird. Like, she's just walking through, like, a store. And
right. They don't have groceries. They did not buy anything.
It was a flower market.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm deep on this.
All right.
I'm deep in the rabbit hole. She's walking around the flower market, and there's other people there, and it's just a lovely spring day. And
now, if I was a British citizen and I saw...
Kate Middleton.
Right. After all this drama.
That's the thing. Like, you can sell me on, like if Obama's in the grocery store today at Kroger, like, part of me is like, let's leave the man alone. Like,
right.
The man just wants to buy some celery or whatever he's getting. Don't bother him.
But
she's missing.
Yeah.
She's missing. Like, if
you
Obama had
her.
Gone missing for 2 months and was the subject of international speculation, and I saw him at the Lombardi Kroger, I would take a picture, or I would go up to him and be like, are you Obama? Like, no, but really.
Mm-hmm. Serious.
Which kind of validates that this woman doesn't look like Kate Middleton.
Right, because they're just walking by like it's nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, I think it's a little different for... Who's the guy? William?
Will. Yeah.
Will, like, there's a lot of British dudes that look like Will.
There are.
Guy, you know.
Balding.
Yeah. Like, he could probably go incognito a little easier.
Yeah.
She can't go incognito right now.
Especially because she's missing.
She's missing.
She's missing. Now, what did you tell me yesterday? You told me that Obama himself has arrived in London for a secret meeting.
That's true. With British Parliament. He arrived in England, and he's not president anymore, so he doesn't have to share why he's there. He rolled in. Does he know?
He might.
Does he know?
He might. Now, I did see a theory that she's just participating in The Masked Singer.
See,
and she's filming in LA right now.
We're at the point where that would be a good outcome.
Right.
That would be a good outcome because we could all have a laugh. We could all be mad at the Fox Network for ruining our lives for a few months. She's all right. It turned out it wasn't her, all those things. But we have so all you hear about is how, like, you can't believe videos anymore. Is it deep fake videos?
Mm-hmm.
This is not helping the situation.
No. It's also like the video has been shot from across the road. Like, it's somebody who saw him and was like, is that Kate Middleton?
But it's across the road, but it's also, like, very clearly just, like, holding the phone out, like, like iPhone style. Like, surely she has better security than this.
I didn't see any security guards.
There's nothing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's wild. I don't know what to believe anymore.
I think she's the Oompa Loompa in Glasgow.
Well, we keep coming back to that. That would be a good outcome, too.
Yeah.
We're rooting for good outcomes
at
this point.
Where is she?
I'm starting to get worried, but we will continue to ask the question every day.
We're putting pressure on the British monarchy.
I think they're sweating these segments on 910 The Fan.
I agree.
I think big pressure is being put on. Sliding into the Commanders, because I don't know how to make a transition between those two topics. Cleveland Farrell is from Richmond. He was in Oakland as a top draft pick there. Moved to Vegas with the Raiders. Was on the San Francisco 49ers this year. We had a fun interview with him when they were here for the 49ers game in December, where he was talking about how he really valued the culture of the 49ers, and that was an important thing for him. And then, lo and behold, this offseason, he follows Adam Peters to D.C., and he's coming to Washington. And so introductory press conference yesterday, Cleveland Farrell talking about why he's here.
The biggest reason, honestly, was you know, obviously my career has been something that's a really good story I feel like to be able to tell one day. But after getting to the pinnacle last year and coming up short in San Fran with the 49ers and getting to the Super Bowl, and just reevaluating everything, I felt like, you know, I had seen a lot in the league, and I wanted to be a part of something to where we could really build, you know, and what better place than a place that I grew up at. So, you know, when I got the phone call from Coach Tapp and AP, and, you know, just to have the opportunity to come here. And also, you know, I come from a very big family, grew up in Richmond, Virginia. So having the opportunity to let my grandmother to come up and see me play, or just any of my siblings or any of my cousins that never really, you know, could afford to come out to the West Coast, that was a major, major role in me coming out here. So family is important, too. So,
And that's a cool story. You also talk about your story in general. How can that story help not just you, obviously, but maybe some of your teammates, maybe guys who are younger that you'll be around?
That's the biggest thing, man. I think, you know, someone like myself, just perspective. I just know what it takes to get to the point that we all work for every single day. At the end of the day, we play this game to win. You know, we don't play to come out here and be mediocre. We don't play to, you know, we play to have success. And I feel like me seeing that, not just on the field, but also me seeing that in the locker room with what we had last year with my teams last year, you know, just from the aspect of just knowing how guys should conduct themselves. It's not just as football players, but as young men. I feel like I just have a lot of perspective that I can add to that.
And I say this every time we do this, like, the culture talk is generally overrated in the sense that winning teams have good cultures and losing teams have bad cultures. But you see what Adam Peters is doing here, and bringing in a guy like Cleveland Farrell, who you just heard from there, is a great start in that. He also shared some memories of growing up as a Redskins fan, and I want to make sure to play those too. Cleveland Farrell, who went to high school at Benedictine, one of the highest draft picks ever from the area. This is him on growing up a fan and making a return to D.C.
I never forget my first real experience with the Commanders, or, you know, what they used to be called, the Redskins. But growing up, you know, they did training camp in Richmond every year, and so being able to go out with my family sometimes, just seeing practice, that was some of the first times I really got to see, like, oh, okay, like, nah, it's really possible. You know, it's not just on TV. It's not just something that you see in the newspaper. But, you know, these people are actually very real, and it's tangible. So to see that as a kid really inspired me to, you know, obviously chase my dreams and go along with my path. And it's just so crazy. I feel like I'm so blessed because it's come full circle. I know we won't do training camp in Richmond no more, but, you know, if AP or DQ is watching this, you know, that'll be a great spot. Trust me. I got the whole, just hit me. I know what hotel, anywhere, all the commodities or amenities that we need, I got them. And create your own identity. I mean, who wouldn't get excited about that? And I think this area, you know, it's just waiting for a team with the type of mentality that I want to bring to really get behind. So, you know, I'll never forget that game, that first playoff game RG3 went to when he was a rookie. I went to it, but I'll never forget just the type of excitement that I saw in a stadium, and you know, you didn't get to see that a whole lot, even in the days when Clint Portis and Chris Cooley and all of them back there was playing. Like, you know, you didn't really see too much of that, but that was something that inspired me. Like, man, these people really want to see, you know, when it's done right, they'll really get behind you. So I know the city is ready.
We have so much to break down from that clip, right? So we have one, a guy who attended training camp in Redskins training camp in Richmond is now playing for the team. It does feel like that happened 4 minutes ago. Like, I'm getting old or what? Like, it feels like people who attended training camp should not actually be in the NFL right now. But then you look, and not only is he in the NFL, he's been in the NFL for 5 entire years. That was a hot minute ago that RG3 was in town. He was in high school. He was at Benedictine when RG3 was having his run. And then he rattles him off. That's a true fan. Like, if you're from the area and you get signed your hometown team, everybody pretends. You can't fake that. That was it. He was rolling him off. He was at the RG3 playoff game, which was, for my money, the best game at FedEx Field that I've ever been to was the playoff game, or the play-in to the playoff game against Dallas the week before. That was the peak of Dan Snyder, FedEx Field, all of it. Because it felt like we had the guy. We had the guy. Things were going great. Things were always going to go great. Leaving the playoff game, you kind of knew something went wrong here, and there's always going to be optimism that it's fixable and you're going to get the car running again. But something bad happened that day. But that Dallas game, nothing bad happened that day. It was all... And if you were in high school then and you went to that game, you became a fan. Yeah, and there haven't been enough of those moments. So hopefully Cleveland Farrell can bring a few of them back to the area. And he's got an open invite anytime he wants to drop by the fan, relive some memories of the Redskins and now what they're building with the Commanders. Cleveland Farrell from Benedictine, newest member of the Washington Commanders on that defensive line. Speaking of RG3, he had some thoughts about the quarterback situation. We'll play those thoughts right after this. You're listening to MP on the Mic. It's a Tuesday morning, 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Tuesday morning. What is up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here, MP on the Mic. I feel bad for all the other cities and all the other places this morning, because they have to wait until Thursday for NCAA basketball. But folks, we got it tonight. We're loaded tonight. Virginia Tech takes on Richmond, 9 o'clock. NIT first round action on ESPN2, The Deuce, at 9:10. This is listed at 9:10. There's no chance this game starts at 9:10. So just pencil yourself in 9:30. Make peace with that. This game's not going to start before 9:30. UVA takes on Colorado State, play-in game in Dayton for the Big Dance, the NCAA tournament. And I think it's going to be a fun one, right? There's two schools of thought on UVA. One is they haven't been good in a while, therefore they're going to lose by a lot tonight and embarrass themselves and they shouldn't be in the field. The other one is if they just made shots every once in a while, they'd be nearly unstoppable. The defense is so good that really any amount of getting the basketball through the basket gives them hope in any game, and particularly tonight against Colorado State. I think it's one of the more fascinating matchups of the early going here, and I'm going to pick the winner to beat Texas. I'm calling that right now. I think you've got a Mountain West team in Colorado State that is feeling disrespected, right, in the play-in game, despite those guys having a very strong season, very strong conference. You've got a UVA team that it means a lot to them, And it doesn't always mean a lot to guys to get to the play-in game. I don't know if you saw the video. UVA didn't have, you know, a big watch party or anything because they didn't think they'd get in. And then they call their name and everybody goes nuts in the room and there's hugging and celebration and all those things to go to Dayton and play the play-in game against Colorado State. And they felt very vindicated by that selection by the committee. Here's UVA coach Tony Bennett.
That was a powerful moment when our name came up. It was real emotional, and it was exciting to celebrate with them because, you know, a lot of the, you know, brackets, I don't look into that, but one of my, our SID said, or actually it was someone else said, well, you're not on many of those brackets.
No, not very many, but they were on the one that counted, the one the committee turned in. By the way, I said it yesterday, our guy Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, he was the one who called it. Mike Barber and I were hanging out in Harrisonburg on Sunday night, and he put his projections out, and UVA was in. We were both like, ah, guess UVA's in. He didn't miss. UVA's in. It's wild to contrast that with, I mean, just how bad they've been over the past month, right? Missing free throws, messing up down the stretch. And Tony Bennett took ownership of that yesterday at the pre-tournament press conference, said, hey, I botched the end of that NC State game. I should have called timeout. I should have let him know to foul, which I respect that he's taken ownership of that. But you contrast how rough it's been to watch with how joyous the celebrations have been for these guys, both finding out they made the tournament. And we were up there for the Boston College game. And just after the Boston College game, it was a full-on party because they thought they'd made the tournament. And I think we all thought they'd made the tournament at that point until NC State came back and stole the title from North Carolina and made things a little foggier. This is a team that really genuinely believes in itself and wants to keep playing. This isn't a team that's playing out the string and struggling to get to the finish line. You know, certainly getting Isaac McNeely hot again would be a great place to start. Jordan Miner, I thought, played really well at the ACC tournament inside. They'll need him tonight. The defense never left. They were single digits with North Carolina for most of the game. They've been holding teams tight. Now, obviously, the wheels have come off a few times as well. That game in Blacksburg being a top example of that. But even when they had no business being tight with NC State, they were. The defense is good. They've just got to hang on for dear life and see what happens tonight and see if they can continue dancing. If they do, they're on a late night, early morning flight to Charlotte, where they'll keep playing against Texas, survive in advance this time of year. University of Richmond tonight against Virginia Tech, and Neil Quinn of the Spiders, I think, speaks for the whole team. They are fired up for this one.
Yeah, I mean, sure, everyone's, you know, it's always a pride thing when you go up against a bigger school like that. You know, you want to put on a good performance for Richmond and you know, for yourselves to prove that you could play at that level. So I think it definitely helps that it's a Power Five that we're playing against.
And a team that won't play them, a team that's been ducking them, right? Virginia Tech won't schedule games against Richmond. UVA won't play games against Richmond. And, that you know, the last time we had a good in-state matchup, I think, was UVA playing James Madison a couple years ago to open their new arena. UVA came down to VCU a couple years ago. Tony Bennett gets it, by the way, because he was a coach at a small school for a long time. He was a coach at Wisconsin Green Bay. And they'd call Wisconsin every year and say, hey, you want to play a game? And Wisconsin would be like, no, go away. You know, they'd call Michigan every year. Hey, you want to play a game? No, stop calling. We don't want to play a game with you. Go play a tiny school. So he's lived that life. And he's been a lot better than a lot of the big school coaches about scheduling those games. But Virginia Tech's always had a firm, we don't do that approach. Well, committee says you're doing it tonight. Tech against Richmond, I think Tech will be fired up. I think they are playing some good basketball right now. Finished the season strong. Didn't get the job done at the ACC tournament, but that's last week. This is this week. I don't think they'll be lacking for motivation as they get ready for Richmond. A chance to prove who's the best of the state in the NIT, in that side of the bracket this year. I think both teams will be fired up, ready to go. For UR, they knew going into Brooklyn that they had to win the whole thing to make the big dance, so I don't think they're disappointed by being in the NIT at all, and I think Virginia Tech most certainly is not disappointed. I think they view this as something they earned down the stretch of the season. I think that's going to be a fun one. Tonight, 9 o'clock, NIT, Virginia Tech and Richmond, the Spiders looking for a little in-state bragging rights. VCU will start their tournament tomorrow, the NIT in Villanova. In Philly, Villanova and VCU. Now, Villanova's the classic do they care to be here or not team. A lot of times you get to the NIT, what matters is, do you want to be there or not? Because some teams don't want to be there. And we're going to find out if Villanova wants to be there or not. Villanova put out yesterday they're going to have $2 beers at the game tomorrow. Trying to juice this thing up. I respect it. I don't think you can get $2 beers anywhere else in Philadelphia tomorrow night. That's the place. If you want a $2 beer in Philadelphia, you got to get to the Villanova VCU basketball game. I respect that. That's a good play right there. Touche. Touche, Villanova. I see you. I see. They're going to absolutely get people out to the game.
Yeah, for $2 beers.
No question. Oh, yeah. I go a lot of places for a $2 beer. Back in the day, a $2 beer was kind of standard fare, but it's hard to find a $2 beer.
Oh, yeah.
These days. Some places you can get canned PBR for $2. Those are special places. We should cherish them and enjoy them while they're still there. Sticky Rice did a thing for a long time that if you got a Sticky Rice tattoo, they'd give you $1 PBRs for life.
Wow.
I don't know if that still stands.
I'd be so offended if it didn't and I had a tattoo of the
Sticky
Rice.
Well, no. I think if you've already got one, you're in for life. I don't know if they're still offering the deal.
Gotcha.
To new people. Like, because you can't just show up one day like, I did it.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta line it up.
You had to be there.
Yeah, you had to be there. But I would think they can still afford to do a $1 PBR. I think they're still going for less than a dollar wholesale. I think so. Villanova also $2 pretzels and hot dogs. So you're good after the beers, too. Bring a 20. Live your best life at NIT basketball.
Have a feast.
Tomorrow night. Have a feast. We'll go around the bracket, of course, today. I'll make some picks at 11:30. AWOD made all the picks. I'm not promising that I will make all the picks. That's not my wheelhouse. It's not my game. As a perennial bracket loser, I don't think you want me to either. At 11 o'clock, we'll hear from Cleland Farrell, a Benedictine grad, local guy. He signed with the Washington Commanders this week. Excited to hear his thoughts on coming home. At 10:45, we will give away NASCAR tickets because that's what we do. Every day this week, we're giving away tickets to the spring race at Richmond Raceway. We'll also ask the burning question, where is Kate Middleton? This is the only sports talk show in Richmond with the guts to ask the question, where is Kate Middleton? We've been doing it every day. We will continue to do it until she is found. That is my promise to you. When we come back, though, we're dancing with the Dukes, as we do every day this week. Dancing with the Dukes, my interview with TJ Bickerstaff of James Madison. Then at 10:30, Shane Metlin of the Daily News Record in Harrisonburg jumps on the line to talk JMU basketball. They start on Friday night in Brooklyn against Wisconsin. Everything you need to know about that on the other side of this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Tourney time on MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. We're here for you. Help me help you. We haven't done picks in a while. NFL season, we always do the picks, and I always give the disclaimer, don't listen to me. Please don't listen to me. I don't know any better than you know. If I knew better than you know, I wouldn't be here in Richmond, Virginia, doing a radio show. I would be in Las Vegas making money off of knowing who is going to win these games. These are for entertainment purposes only. But we're filling out a bracket today on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Take a look at these matchups. And the beauty of this is you do get both play-in teams when you pick them, right? So history tells us one of the play-in teams is going to make its way through and win its first-round game. I think that trend continues this year. I actually am going to take both play-in game winners this year. Virginia, Colorado State, I'm taking the winner of that to beat Texas. I do think it'll be Colorado State, but you never know. Caesars reports that somebody dropped $45,000 on Colorado State to win tonight. That's confidence. I'm not that confident. Just for the record, I'm not that confident. Boise State, Colorado is the other one. I think sometimes when you have these conference games, that can matter. And in this case, you've got Mountain West team against a Power 5 team. I think that stuff matters. I like Boise. Here's the good news. You get both of them. Now, when I make the bracket, I'm a huge believer in you start at the end and you work backwards. Pick your final four teams, pull them back, and then fill in the bracket around them. That keeps you from doing something stupid where you end up with like two upsets in a region and then you run it all down. You're like, my Elite Eight is James Madison against Boise State. Crap, that's not right. Neither of those teams are going to the Final Four. Hopefully James Madison goes to the Final Four. Keep Dancing with the Deuce for two more weeks. I'm in on that. Pick your Final Four teams, roll it back, work backwards from there. I've picked my Final Four teams. They are not original. They are not unique. North Carolina is one of my Final Four teams this year. I think North Carolina is really good. I think that loss to NC State will prove to be a positive. They played really, really well in DC before that. They're loaded. They've got senior leadership. They've been here before. I think all those things matter a whole heck of a lot. The bracket I struggle with the most is the other side. And that's because there are two teams I really like in the South region. I really like Houston. I know they didn't win the Big 12 championship, but they were right there to the end. They've been playing some good basketball. They're hot right now. The other team I really like is Marquette, the Fightin' Shaka Smarts. They got jobbed last year, got paired against Michigan State in a tough early round game, got bounced early. I don't think that happens twice. I like Marquette a lot. I'm going Marquette, North Carolina in the finals. We got Shaka Smart against the Tar Heels. That's my championship game right there. Then you work backwards. We'll go region by region here. We'll make the calls, make the picks. East region, you've got a lot of potential here, I think, for upsets. Drake, Washington State. You've got UAB against San Diego State. You've got a ton of teams here that I think can pull the upset, can do it. My other advice on upsets, sprinkle them in sparingly, right? Don't pick all the upsets because all the upsets aren't going to happen. You got to pick a few key upsets. And then when you pick them, you got to stick with them. Pick the teams you like. I don't know. I don't know who's going to win. Pick your favorite. Pick the dog teams. Pick your favorite mascots. Pick Longwood and Moorhead because they make you giggle. Do whatever you need to do when you're filling out this bracket to have a good time. I do like Auburn out of the East. Auburn is my Final Four team out of the East. They're the number four seed. That's my Final Four upset pick. I think Auburn runs the table up top there against UConn. They're defending national champs. They're a good team. I think the SEC has played some great basketball down the stretch. I think people are sleeping on how good the SEC is this year. When we get to the other side, I think NC State against Kentucky, potentially in the second round this weekend, is an absolute banger of a matchup. I like Kentucky in that, but I think NC State's playing some red-hot basketball right now with DJ Burns. And boy, they're going to be a tough out for whoever draws them this time around. In the East, you've also got BYU Duquesne. That's another upset that I would potentially circle, especially you've got the news that Keith Dambrot's retiring at the end of the year. I love a good retirement bounce or like big news bounce, right? Like, guys, oh, this is my last season. This is my last go-round. I love riding that bounce right there. So I'm riding Duquesne in the upset in the East as well. Iowa State, who rolled over Houston that Big 12 title game. I've not watched a lot of Iowa State this year, but I liked what I saw that night. So I'm going to put them against Auburn in the Elite Eight out of the East region. West region, I've got North Carolina to the title game. Don't fall into the trap of picking Michigan State because you know they're good in March. This team isn't. This is not vintage Michigan State. Mississippi State's going to upset them in the first game. They're going to be playing North Carolina on Sunday to go to the Sweet 16. St. Mary's is underrated and sneaky good. I'm going to take them over Alabama in what should be one of this weekend's most fun games. I think people don't realize that St. Mary's has supplanted Gonzaga as the best team in that conference. They're here to play. I'm rolling with St. Mary's down the bracket. Clemson, New Mexico. We went over this yesterday. How is Clemson a six seed? Nobody knows. The inner workings of the committee are a secret to all of us. What's not a secret is that Clemson is struggling. I don't even know anything about New Mexico. I don't know their mascot. I like the state flag. I'm prepared to go with that. We're not picking a bracket off of state flags, but if we were, I think New Mexico would do well. All I know is Clemson's fraudulent. Give me Clemson and get them out of here. Give me New Mexico. Baylor in that bracket, I do like Baylor as the three seed. They're playing some good ball. I think they've shed their not good in March label. We're past that now for Baylor. Dayton down at the bottom with the 7 seed, another completely fraudulent 7 seed, but Arizona's a good team. Arizona, Long Beach State is your 215 there. I like Arizona to make the Elite 8. We're making some bracket picks. It's MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, getting you ready for the madness. We're not doing an NIT bracket. I don't know. Probably should have. I haven't even seen an NIT bracket. I don't know who they play if they win, who Virginia Tech, Richmond, the winner plays. I don't know who VCU would play. I just know we're not doing an NIT bracket. The show, we have to draw a line somewhere as a show, and this is where we draw that line. We're doing the big bracket because I have to, because I'm a radio host. That's the deal. But we're not doing an NIT bracket. Maybe we'll do a WBIT bracket.
Ooh.
The WBIT bracket.
Okay.
We'll get everybody around here, throw in $5, and we'll have ourselves a good time. JMU's the one seed. We'll celebrate. We'll dance with the Dukes.
Woo.
I can't name any other teams in the WBIT, though. That's
not yet.
Not yet. We're going to study up. We're going to be watching film tonight. It's going to be a late night. Be ready. You heard me say that I like Houston. They are playing Longwood in the first round. Good on Longwood for making it, but I don't see any possibility of a miracle outcome there. I don't think Longwood's the team. I don't think this is the year. I don't love any of the 16s across the board. If I had to pick a 16, I'm gonna pick against Purdue just because they've botched it recently. That's not based on this year's team though. Zach Edey, he's a big dude. He can play some ball. I think they can just out physical the 16 seed if they need to when they get there. But yes, we've got. I am leaning towards taking Wisconsin over James Madison, which is not an indication of my lack of faith in the Dukes, but I'm always looking for value plays. Love a good value play. And too many people are on this James Madison bandwagon. Somebody's got to shut this down. The value play now, because so many people are taking JMU, it's a value play to grab the 5 seed. I want a piece of that. And as I've previously declared, I don't think Duke makes it out of this weekend. So that makes it extra important that I don't take James Madison, because then you could be in a double upset situation. I'm going to take Wisconsin into the Sweet 16. As you work backwards, not forwards. Yeah, no, I don't want a 12 play and a 13 in the second game. It might happen somewhere, but it screws you over down the line when you do that. So I'm going to take Wisconsin into the Sweet 16. Kentucky, I love Kentucky right now. They make it to play Marquette in the Sweet 16 in a game I will absolutely be tuned in to watch. I do like NC State over Texas Tech. I like the play-in winner over Florida, but yeah, Marquette, the Shaka Smarts, they are in it to win it this year after bouncing early last year against Michigan State. And then the Midwest region, the one that I think is the most intriguing here, here's your pod, Gonzaga against McNeese State and Kansas against Samford. I'm just going to lay it out there. Any of those four teams could make the Sweet 16. If you give me odds on any of those four, I would consider taking them to make the Sweet 16. Kansas is reeling. They could absolutely lose to Samford. Gonzaga is not as good as St. Mary's. That's a reputation 5 seed. I think they will lose to McNeese State. I'm going to grab McNeese State, pencil them in, take them to the Sweet 16 with Will Wade. And then the bottom corner of the bracket, you got South Carolina, Oregon. Love picking a hot team in Oregon. Creighton is the 3 in that region. I like them a lot. But Tennessee is rolling right now. I'm going to go Tennessee into the Elite 8 out of that pod. There we go. We did it. We did the whole thing. That's a whole bracket. I didn't know if we could make it through in one segment or not. But we did it. And we're going to cross talk with AWOD right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. One more segment taken at home. MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. My guy, AWOD Radio, Adam Epstein, sitting right next to me here. Adam, you heard me make my bracket picks. Any feedback here? Any critique? Any thoughts?
No, I actually love the way you filled out your bracket. I was telling you during the break there that it's great advice to start with the Final Four, but I have never filled out a bracket that way, and it's probably why I've only won a bracket challenge once in my life, and I believe it was in sixth grade. So I always go just upset by upset, and you're right. I always have like a 12 against a 13.
Look, Jenny downstairs is going to win. We're all just playing. We're all just playing for second. That's how these contests work. That's what happens. You know, when AWOD drops by, we have a little bit of crosstalk, and when we have a little bit of crosstalk, we play the crosstalk sounder.
Yes, we do.
two hosts enter.
Let's get it on right now, all right?
Two hosts will also leave, but in between, all bets are off. This is Crosstalk with MP and AWOD.
Okay, okay, let's get this show on the road!
Two mock drafts this morning. One from the NFL Network, one from ESPN's and Mel Kiper. One that says Drake May's coming, one that says Jaden Daniels is coming. I kind of like the mystery, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, we are going to be going back and forth on this, it seems like, until the day of the NFL draft. Especially with the moves the Chicago Bears are making, it pretty much feels like they are locking in on Caleb Williams.
I am 100% locked in that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams. It just, even if they were like wishy-washy or deliberating, you hang on to Justin Fields during that time. They've got their guy. They know their guy. They've also had a lot of time to kick the tires on Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I think my question would be, what are the chances that Washington trades back?
I've really talked myself out of the trade back. I really don't like the... If you do this right, if you build a team with Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and these guys, you're never going to get to pick number two again. Mm-hmm. And if 5 years from now they're picking number two, somebody else is turning in the card.
Can I throw out a crazy scenario for you, all right? And I talked myself into actually believing this could happen yesterday.
Oh, fire
this
it
is,
up.
I mean, this is an AWOD hot take. It's crazy. It's ludicrous.
Before you do, I have a persona here, the professor.
Yes.
And I run a pretty button-down show. I don't yell a lot on the show. I probably would have yelled if I had done a show right after UVA NC State. I thought that was yell worthy. David Teal basically yelled in his Times Dispatch column, which validated me wanting to yell about it. But I generally not a yeller. I love the trade machine, the speculation. I can't get enough of that stuff this time of year. I'm legitimately excited for this.
All right, here we go. The Washington Commanders lock in a trade in the next few weeks with the Minnesota Vikings. They have acquired all these picks.
11 and 23, among others.
Plus like second, third, right? I mean, it's an incredible amount. The Commanders trade back with the Minnesota Vikings. They acquire, let's just say, two more first-round picks, all right? That trade is locked in stone. The NFL approves it. Washington's now picking, 11th, all right? They then take the 11th pick. The 22nd pick or whatever they get from
Package
it up. Plus the 36th. Plus, the 42nd or whatever. All right? All these picks. And then trade back into the top five, number one, with the Chicago Bears. So they trade with Minnesota to acquire, six more picks and then use those to get back ahead of Minnesota to take Caleb Williams.
That's a twist. That's not where I thought you would go. I thought you were going to say they trade back out of two and come back in at three, knowing that two's going to be Drake May and they want Jaden Daniels or vice versa, right? Like some kind of espionage thing where like they know they want to give number two to the team that's going to take the other guy and they move back to number three through some accounting that allows them to pick it. But you're going back to one. You haven't given up on Caleb Williams.
I'm not giving up on Caleb Williams. I'm saying that the more picks they acquire, the more likely it is that they could trade with the Chicago Bears. They take every pick Minnesota has and then in return, they give it to Chicago.
Now, if Chicago ends up doing this, mm-hmm. they have hundreds of picks. They have every player in
they
college this year.
11, 22, 28, 30, 36, 42.
Impressive.
Yeah.
But they still don't have a quarterback. You can see the problem
but
here.
But the Bears could have their eyes on Michael Penix or Bo Nix or one of the trade back guys that you can get at 11.
McCarthy might be there at 11. Here's the thing. There's always that guy who we hear so much about and it doesn't pan out. Will Levis last year, right? Like, man, you got to get in the top 15 if you're going to get
him. This guy puts mayonnaise in his coffee.
He puts mayonnaise in his coffee. And then second day.
Yeah.
Is J.J. McCarthy that guy this year? Is he that guy this year? It's like, oh, you're never going to get him at 11. And then he's sitting there at 11 and 12 and 13
I would say
14.
So. Because I think I had a caller ask me yesterday, between Michael Penix, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy ranked them.
Yeah.
I'd probably go Penix, Bo Nix, then McCarthy.
Well, you had a caller yesterday who'd like steamed up for Bo Nix at number two as well.
You know what? I don't hate it. I like the passion from the fan base. But like my trade back with Minnesota to then trade back up, like does that make sense? Like, is that actually plausible?
Oh yeah, I think you trade back and you load up. The question is, how does the price fluctuate, right? Do you need to lock it in with the Bears ahead of time? Would the Bears just deal directly with the Vikings? Is a three-way trade in play? I also think it's not good that the Patriots are sitting at three because they need a quarterback. Like, I would love for a non-quarterback. I'd love for the Cardinals to be sitting at three, give you a little more room to move around, set the board. But you know the Patriots are taking a quarterback unless they really do something crazy.
Yeah,
that's the part that gets me is where if you want a quarterback, you don't have a ton of guaranteed options once you move out of that pick. Even at 11, if you've fallen in love with a guy, he might go at 9. Like, it's a crazy year. You don't know what's going to happen this year. Penix is the only guy who I feel like definitively is not going to go top 15, right? Too many injury questions, too many questions around him. He's not going top 15. If he's your guy, sure. Everybody else, I just... You're playing like industrial espionage here, right? You need to be like hacking the Vikings emails to figure out what's going on before.
Well,
you
that's the other thing. Like, is there anybody else that could start a quarterback for both Minnesota and Chicago that is not a rookie?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's out there. I don't think they're interested. Is there anybody else out there that one of those teams could take a flyer on?
Right, and same for the Commanders, right? If they end up in a situation where they truly just load up and they can't come back,
right.
Who's your guy? Who's your backup?
Because Jameis Winston's now gone.
Sure, and Marcus Mariota is not your backup player.
No.
That's nobody. Like, nobody was steamed up about that signing at all.
No.
As far as I could tell.
Yeah.
By the way, Cleveland Farrell, how great was my dude was just like, this is my first day in D.C., and I'd like to say something. Bring training camp back to Richmond. Let's
do
it.
I know. I could do a whole show on that, honestly, because it was so great when it was here in Richmond.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I think the Commanders' ownership, right, if they, and Josh Harris, if he's really, truly in touch with the fan base, he will realize how big of the fan base is here in Richmond.
Absolutely.
Like training camp, when it was RG3 and it was the New England Patriots, it was the place to be.
And still, I would argue that Richmond has stuck with the team more than D.C. is stuck with the team. Because a lot of Maryland is defected to the Ravens.
Yeah, that's very true.
Virginia.
Especially with the run they went on this postseason. Yeah. That's going to carry over to next season, especially with Derrick Henry coming to town.
And look, I've never lived in Montgomery County. I've never lived in you know, was it Prince William, Prince George, whatever that county is up there. But if you're in Maryland and you got it, like you're a kid and you're going to school and like your classmates wearing a Lamar jersey, how long are you sticking with that Commanders jersey
for? Right. I mean, you're playing backyard football and you're saying, I'm Lamar, you're Derrick Henry, and this guy's Zay Flowers. Let's go win the game.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. Yeah.
Right. You're not saying, I'm Terry McLaurin and this guy's Sam Howell? I don't know.
Marcus Mariota for the win. Unbelievable.
This guy's
B-Rob.
He's bulletproof.
Commanders win. Marcus Mariota. What a story. It's generational. It's going to take a whole generation of winning to get him back, to get him playing around back there. All right, we got to bounce. AWOD Radio, 3 hours of AWOD Radio. Up next, please listen to it because he's good at making radio, and it's 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.